Hello, everyone. Welcome to our first Edge of Wonder radio show. I'm Ambe, and I'm here with my beloved husband, Orion Randall. And we're so excited to share with you and our many evocative guests to come about the journey to conscious evolution. I wanted to share a quote to open up by Barbara Marx Hubbard. Conscious evolution is the worldview that has arisen precisely at this moment in history to deal with the new human condition. It is a vision and a direction to help us navigate through this transitional period to the next stage of human evolution. So here we are at the edge of wonder. We're poised in the heart of this moment, open, curious, fascinated, and in discovery of the many options and opportunities being catalyzed by the evolutionary energies of this time. We are a divine new humanity, birthing ourselves into a brand new possibility. And we want to hear about how you, our listeners, are choosing to create yourself and your life as you surf the wave of infinite potentiality as the creator and master of your life. So the Edge of Wonder radio show is an open forum inviting you, the listeners, to investigate with us about the many compelling options of how to create a life greater than imagined. We choose to open our first show today by highlighting a very foundational and what we feel to be a very necessary component of the journey of conscious evolution, and that is the aspect of our innocence and the power of our perception. I want to share an example of that. This morning, it really felt like it was the first day of spring. The sun was out for the first time here in Ashland, Oregon. And I was feeling the vulnerability of kind of stepping out into a new day as I took my morning walk. I was even resistant to go out, but I chose to take my walk. And wow, as soon as I felt that sunlight, I felt this sense of opening, this sense of trust. I felt these layers of kind of guarded protection, winter guarded protection just melting away. And I felt like I was emerging out of something kind of inauthentic into a truer, more authentic version of myself. And I really thought, wow, this is a feeling of innocence. This is a feeling of joy. So we're going to go deeper into this today. I'd like to introduce my beloved husband, Orion Randall. And we're going to open with an inquiry, open with an exploration of what is innocence in relationship to our evolutionary journey. So would you like to share some of that?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Orion Randall. The question is, what is innocence? Well, it seems like a simple question. We all have a sense of innocence. We see children, and we have a sense of it in the court, innocent or guilty. However, we are at a turning point in the way we view our reality. Through the help of a new consciousness emerging, we're at the beginning of a species change. We are indeed creating our own life. This is enabling us to drop blame. We're shifting our consciousness from thinking that the world is something that's created by something else other than ourselves. This is a major paradigm shift in our consciousness. The new sciences are coming more and more towards seeing this reality as a hologram. Every point in the hologram is a creational point. But because with this new understanding that is emerging, that we are the creators of our entire reality, that there is never anything or anyone ever to blame. So there is no place for guilt in this new emerging conscious reality. So innocence is no longer about being guilty or innocent. It leaves a space open for a greater possibility of what innocence is. So I would start this conversation today with that innocence is a feeling. And this feeling is joy.
Absolutely. So do you think you might share a little bit with us about why you feel innocence is very critical and mandatory for us to even evolve as a human species?
I think that takes me into the area of talking about frequency. Everything has a frequency to it. Innocence has a frequency to it. Guilt has a frequency to it. So as we create our reality using this example that we create our reality in this new consciousness emerging, everything has a frequency. So if we are just in our space of creating our new reality, and we have innocence as a feeling frequency, is probably more accurate. As we begin to bring in that feeling frequency of innocence, of joy, of just complete surrender, where blame is no longer even in our sphere anymore. But we're emerging this, so we work at it little by little. So we bring in more of the feeling and the frequency. Maybe we could say we create more of the feeling and the frequency of innocence, of this joy, of well, the name of our show is Edge of Wonder. We're creating a feeling of wonder, and that wonder is connected with a possibility of the most wonderful, even beyond our imagination possibilities. And if we can feel into that, that is how we will create our reality.
I know that's easy to do when the sun is shining, like this morning on my walk, and when things are going really good. But I'm also aware in my process I might be more apt to defend myself or judge or go into blame, and it kind of sneaks in there before I even have a chance to generate that feeling frequency of innocence and wonder and joy. And so there's something deeper around innocence as well, and I feel for me it's a very large commitment to define myself as someone who is not on the defense or not needing to judge or point the finger and make wrong, that who I am in all my experiences, no matter what is happening, is resorts to this place of open and innocence and seeing the possibilities that may come even when I feel threatened. And my goodness, this has been our practice, as you know, for quite some time. It takes practice, and it's been an ongoing process and very worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is not just an effort that's done on the... It's not just a shift that's happening on the conscious level. It's happening on the subconscious and the unconscious. So all of the things that are in guilt and blame and pointing a finger and thinking and feeling that life is being created other than our own self is going to come up. It's part of what we're up to now in our world. It's what's happening with the acceleration. So it's happening beyond even our consciousness. Maybe things are coming up in dreams. I know they are for me personally, where I'm cleaning out the basement of my own self. And it's a wonderful opportunity for all of us.
Absolutely. I know for myself as well, this feeling of being pushed, I may have interpreted as being a victim or helpless or The world was out to get me, and really reframing that the push is an opportunity to push out everything that is not in love and innocence. And if I can remain poised in my own sense of center and awareness and consciousness, I have an opportunity to turn that push into a novel opening, like a novel opportunity. So when that, you know, person that's driving ahead of me cuts me off, instead of feeling the push of that, there's an opportunity to open into greater compassion. I think there's a lot of examples we all know of attempting to practice this, and in a little while we'd love to open up the lines for you, the listeners, to share moments where you've been able to do a turnaround and engage your innocence and maybe choose something other than that reflex of blame or judgment.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. I feel every day new challenges are coming up, but I do feel a growth, and it's encouraging. At times I feel like out of left field, something comes up that I haven't seen, of where I'm still in some kind of blame, still in some kind of pointing the finger. And I know it's our destiny. I think that innocence will put us more and more on the fast track. Humanity is evolving, and it's depending on how fast or slow we want to go. And I think innocence is one of our greatest allies to putting us and keeping us on the fast track of evolution, because it is congruent with what really is the reality of our makeup here. We are living creators entirely, not a little bit, but entirely. And there's a strong agreement field up to this point that we've created, where we kind of all got together consciously, unconsciously, and limited ourselves. That's what I see. That's one way to look at it. And for me, it's time to step up into a new consciousness, and I know I'm not the only one.
I think out of all those bumper stickers going around out there right now, the one that stood out the most for me is "the eye for the eye makes the whole world blind." And I know in my lifetime I've seen that continue to carry on. And I'm personally very passionate about what are some of our options beyond the eye for the eye response and reaction to our lives. And from innocence, there is an opportunity to create novel outcomes and possibilities that weren't possible before. An example, I pulled out a few examples. I remember a story about an Ecuadorian tribe, and they were being threatened by an oil company to have their land confiscated, and essentially they would need to relocate, and their culture was being threatened. And they were inspired by a young American to kind of re-energize their original creation songs and to bring those back into the forefront of what was important to them as a tribe. Needless to say, I heard when that oil company, it was time for them to come in and start moving ground, this tribe kind of unified and began to sing those original creation songs and did a whole turnaround where the oil company actually pulled out of the agreement to take over their land and their culture. I think that was a novel act of innocence and trust.
And another example that comes to mind is the movie that was out, that the American soldiers and the German soldiers, I believe it was, in World War II were Christmas fighting and bloodshed, but then one man on each side somehow created peace between them, and before you know it, they were out there playing soccer. And this, again, is just a taking a control of a possibility beyond our blame and our war.
I had an experience in Hawaii. I was camping. I was doing a personal meditation retreat. I was camping on this cliff in Hawaii, and I was in my tent, and I was doing my meditations, and I was at that time connecting with my spiritual teachers and in a really profound state of gratitude and love and adoration. And I heard this big ka-thunk outside of my tent, like a loud noise came out of my tent. And it was this man who had thrown my backpack on the picnic table, and his eyes were bloodshot. He looked and smelled of alcohol, and he was really raging. And he said he wanted to blow me up and rape me, and it was probably the most volatile situation I'd found myself in. But because prior to that I was meditating and dropping into the frequency of innocence and love within myself, in a flash, I was able to perceive him as no other than my teacher himself. That was the choice I made, and I looked at him with my love and my compassion, and I felt that somewhere he had a very good reason to be raging, even at me. So instead of going into extreme fear and defensiveness, in that moment, I don't know how I did it, because there was a part of me that was afraid. I chose to open and to be in innocence. As things worked out down the line, he settled down enough to thank me for that moment of perceiving him as the divine being he was. And we actually became friends. And I turned something around in my life that has served to be an example for many things to come. So if any of you out there are listening now, we so would love to hear about your stories and your examples of how you've accessed innocence in times of maybe feeling threatened or attacked, or what engages your innocence. So feel free to call. Orion's going to give you some numbers to call in if you feel moved to share a story or two.
So if you're calling internationally, it's 1-888-228-4494, and if on the on your computer you'll see the numbers there. We're station 2, or if you're calling nationally, the number would be 1-877-270-8714. That's 877-270-8714. We'd love to hear from you.
Do you have an example, honey, of a time you were able to access that innocence when you were feeling attacked or threatened?
I think in some way, in my mind, I feel attacked and threatened every day. I mean, I have some story running that I need to just say, am I going to be a victim here? Am I going to go along with this story or not? I mean, there's something that comes up for me every single day. So nothing really comes to mind right now. What happens for me, I think, is I go into, at times, I go into victim. And whenever I go into victim, I'm for sure going into blame. And it can be really subtle. I can everything can be fine. I can be not freaking out or not, you know, I can be going about my day, but sometimes I can be in some blame, some pointing the finger, or I'm at odds with someone or something. Whether it's, who knows, whether it's some kind of government institution, somebody that just cut me off or whatever. And, I could do that. You know, I could get into that and I could say, of course, they cut me off. But again, and from where I'm coming from, that's the slow track of evolution, and there's validity to that. You know, somebody cut me off, and there's validity to that. But there's something beyond that in the possibility of what we can all live into. And what I can live into. So what the little project or experiment here is to take that as a possibility that there's perfectly good reasons for all things that happen, and the state of being to me is what's going to actually evolve me. It's not, and the slow track of evolution is to stay in blame and just do it the same old, you know, common sense. Of course you should be pissed off at this person, or of course this person's to blame. Or I can try something new and start to excavate my life and build my life in a new direction. And like I said, I don't think I'm the only one doing this. And we would love to hear from you if you have any, if you'd like to call in. Again, station 2 is 877-270-8714.
I remember being on the Golden Gate Bridge in rush hour traffic, and I accidentally got in the far, far right lane, which was not going to get me through the toll booth. And the man in back of me in his big red truck was so adamant about not letting me in. And so I got into this kind of interesting interplay of kind of begging him to let me in. Please, you know, I'm sure all of you have had that kind of situation in traffic one time or the other. And I was pleading, you know, because quite frankly it was dangerous for me to be where I was. So, wow, push came to shove, indeed, and he let me in, and I paid his toll. I paid for his bridge toll, and we had an exchange of consciousness which is going to stay with me forever. I mean, there was so much love between us in that moment. We looked in each other's eyes, and we saw that we created something different. And for me, I feel even the smallest and most mundane acts of consciousness where we turn things around from judgment and blame into a novel possibility, I have a feeling this really ripples out into the whole planetary experience. It's like it changes the hologram just a little bit more. And for me, it makes life much more enjoyable and compelling to see where I can make those turnarounds in my life and end up laughing instead of crying or screaming.
Yeah. I would like to speak into a little bit more deeply into the resonance and the feeling of innocence. Openness. The feeling that everything that ever happens to me is going to be better than anything I could have imagined. So these are phrases, but with each phrase, or openness, or relaxed, that comes with a feeling, and it's from these feelings that we're re-scripting our lives.
Like the next one I'm seeing is I'm creating within myself a new life force consisting of life, love, and joy. And so as I know myself to be life, love, and joy, anything that comes into my field or anything that I create that's not that, I'm beginning to realize it's down to me to actually edit my life, that I have this power within me through being conscious and aware to simply edit out through conscious choice, which is anything and everything that's not in alignment with that life and that love and joy. And I notice I've been practicing that this week, and in situations that would ordinarily trigger me, I've actually become my own editor of my own life instead of going into reaction.
I think there's a tremendous freedom in realizing that we can literally create the way we feel, that we don't have to wait for anything outside ourselves in order to cause us to feel, that we're not just at the whim of life to make us feel something, that we can actually create the way we feel.
And this feels very important when the intensity of the collective evolutionary field is indeed intensifying. It's likened to being in the birth canal and experiencing the contractions of giving birth. I don't know if there's any mothers listening, but what if we as a collective were in a similar energetic birthing process? And so I'm coming to a point of realizing the choice I have of approaching these contractions from that place of wonder and curiosity, or doing what I know myself to have done for many years, which was to be in resistance to these contractions.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons that we're all in, that someone could be in resistance. I mean, one of the big programs that's running in our world is Murphy's Law. If this doesn't get me, something else will. And that's something that is deeply, deeply ingrained in a lot of our program. So that's not how I'm scripting myself now. I mean, so there's a big change happening in humanity, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Absolutely. I'm seeing so many organizations and companies and workforces beginning to reorganize and re-script the way they do businesses, it's, we're moving from kind of the hierarchical systems to co-created resonant systems and teamwork and decision-making, and there really is an enormous movement towards opening to possibilities of creating together versus asserting ourselves from these places of position or agenda or that place of collecting data and asserting our data, and at times even using coercion and manipulation to accomplish what we're setting out to accomplish. For me, innocence and the emphasis on my evolution through innocence has just brought so much more enjoyment to this whole metamorphosis of the soul that humanity is experiencing.
So we're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to go to a commercial break. What I would like to do here now for a moment is invite us, invite our listeners to consider this question. Consider the question of, who would we be without innocence? What would we be without innocence? And what does innocence mean to you at this point? So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and feel free to call. We'd love to have you call in at 1-877-270-8714.
Presenting the Amethyst Crystal Biomat, a great ally and tool for Orion and I in sustaining our moments of innocence. Imagine simply lying down, unwinding all of your tension, all of your stress and overwhelm, replacing any pain and discomfort with soothing well-being. Bathing in and soaking up nature's most healing spectrum of energy, so when you arise, you feel completely relaxed, balanced, and rejuvenated, all in the comfort of your own home or office. Discover what NASA has proven to be the most beneficial and biocompatible spectrum of light, designed and used to help maintain the health and the vitality levels of astronauts. Enjoy the energizing and cleansing effects of negative ions, which can also be found in waterfalls and ocean waves. Combining the wonders of nature, this innovative technology brings together far infrared light with negative ions and thousands of amethyst crystals, which amplify our love and attune our body mind to peace and clarity. Satisfy your body's needs within minutes. Find out about the Amethyst Biomat. Go to www.bodyalivetemple.com and satisfy your body's needs within minutes.
Wonderful. Thank you. We're sitting on our biomat right now as we're doing this show, and we just have it part of our life each day and gain the benefits of the amethyst crystals and the infrared light and the negative ions. Each day we spend at least a half hour on it. So we're halfway through our show, and we'd love to hear some folks call in. They would. Love to hear from people.
I'd like to kind of talk a little bit more about the power of our perception and really owning that how I see others and how I see my experience is really about how I see myself. And how I see myself is going to relate to how I see the world.
Yeah.
And how through my waking, conscious and aware experience of my life, there's nothing more important I'm finding than to take the reins of my perception back. For these perceptions, unconscious or conscious, is what really kind of gets me out of my innocence and joy when I'm perceiving anything less than perfect or greater than imagined.
Mm-hmm. Why do you feel that that innocence is important to you now in your life? What's important about innocence right now? What's the feelings that come up for you that why innocence is important to you?
I feel that innocence is directly connected and related to the quality of life I'm living. I notice when I'm maybe guarded or defended or protected or suspicious or in judgment, my life force energy is immediately dimmed.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the joy and the wonder that for me creates the quality of life that I want to be living in. So in essence, choosing innocence and learning to be open is a very selfish choice on my part. It's a choice to take responsibility for creating the best life that I know how.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel you're doing with it?
It changes all the time. You know, this week I had great triumphant moments where I really did turnarounds, like in a flash of a moment.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I call it my saboteur.
Yeah.
Gets the reins before I get the reins. And I'm dealing with a saboteur energy that doesn't necessarily want to ensure my joy and ensure that quality of life.
What would you say, what's your strategy for getting the reins and keeping the reins? Do you have any strategies? Do you have any ways that you work that you feel you could share right now?
Well, I have become a good tracker. Over many years of practicing my yoga, I think the best thing I got out of that is tracking what's happening now and observing and witnessing what's happening. So there's a part of me I reserve kind of as a positive policewoman. And this positive policewoman is the one that taps me in the shoulder and goes, you see what's happening here now? You're going into blame. And it's the one that allows me to take a step back and right now, my strategy for my saboteur, when I notice my saboteur is up, my strategy is to go right into curiosity.
Really? Yeah, I noticed that about you. You're really phenomenal with that. It's something that I'm still learning. I feel like you really hold that very well.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm all about fun.
Yeah, you are.
So the quicker I can get into curiosity, I know the sooner I will get to fun and enjoyment.
I feel like I recognize when I'm on the slow track of evolution and I'm into blame, even subtly, or I'm closed down, and then it's really just a matter of making that decision to get back on the fast track of evolution, getting out of that blame or being closed or just like pushing away. And then I'm back on the fast track. I'm back to my, you know, I'm grounding my energy. I can be relaxed and open, and I feel joy. But it can be subtle. You know, I can be subtly closed, and that's a real, you know, who wants to be on the slow track of evolution? I mean, all the fun stuff's on the fast track. So that's what is the carrot that's dangling me to. I mean, I want to see what's next and the possibility of who I am.
Mm, beautiful. Well, the inner sense, I find, is very fluid. It's able to change its positions in a blink of an eye.
Say that again?
Inner sense is fluid. Mm-hmm. It's able to change its course of perception in a blink of an eye. So one of the ways the saboteur of innocence works is it makes us feel that our positions are very, very, very important to us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I feel at some point we have to make a conscious choice whether our positions are more important than our innocence. And being fluid and being able to change our perceptions, knowing that in the hologram there's a trillion different perceptions that are available in any given moment, is a tool to assist me in moving into innocence when I am holding a very strong position.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at our attachments is also going to give us a big clue into where we're kind of inhibiting our own experience of joy and innocence. And, you know, there's that old saying, would you rather be right or be happy?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, I know with my attachments, my experience of attachments is I want to pull everyone else into that attachment. I want, you know, if I'm attached to holding on to something, I want everything around me to conform with that emotional state that I'm in. You know, that's pretty heavy. I mean, I don't think I'm the only one that's experiencing that, but that's pretty heavy. That's probably why it slows down evolution. It's sort of this density. You know, I think attachments and judgments are pretty dense, and they don't allow for the fluidity that you're describing.
I think we can learn a lot from hanging out at the playground with the children.
Yeah.
You know, or even hanging out with our own animals, you know, our cats and our dogs and our own children who move in and out of a full spectrum of experiences just one moment after the other. They kind of reap the fullness of one mood and then move to another, and they may have a moment of a spat, but they get right back to that play as soon as they can.
Yeah.
What are some examples of role models of innocence?
Well, I think it's the idea that comes up is, you know, many of us have photos of ourselves when we're 2-3 years old, you know, and I think those are great references to see the innocence of that childlike nature, when we saw the world, is just, you know, we were looking through the eyes of beauty.
Mm.
And that's the way we saw the world. There was no sense of any kind of judgment. And I think that it's really, pull those old photos out, and take a look at ourselves. It would be a real, real help for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I give a lot of thanks to my greatest teacher these days, which is my white, fluffy cat, who seems to have a response of humor and unconditional love to almost every situation she finds herself in. And I give a lot of thanks to having an animal in my life in close proximity where I can kind of follow their trend of behavior, which is to move on, to play quickly, rapidly, with as least attachment as possible, and to stay in love and unconditionality, and to make that kind of the trend in mm-hmm. one's life.
Yeah.
So thanks to our cat who teaches us every day.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have a few minutes left, so if anybody out there has a story or an example or would just want to say hello, even ask a question, we would love to hear from you at 1-877-270-8714. Or you can write us with our stories. Write us at mywisdombody@yahoo.com. mywisdombody@yahoo.com. We've got some great guests coming up who are at the very edge of conscious evolution and wonder themselves. March 16th.
Yep, coming up in 2 weeks, same time, Sunday at 4, is Rennie Davis. Many of you may know Rennie. He was very active in the 60s. He was one of the Chicago Seven. He will be on our show, and we're delighted. What he has now is the Foundation for a New Humanity, FFH.org.
And he's got some golden keys as to how to truly be the change we want to see in the world, and has truly inspired and influenced Orion and I to make evolution a living, breathing, expressing part of our daily lives, and taking it out of the conceptual but into our whole experience of life. We give thanks to the Foundation for a New Humanity and many of these wonderful beings out there whom will be joining us in the near future to share about their golden tickets to evolving and navigating the journey of conscious evolution, ultimately with the greatest amount of ease and grace.
Another guest that we have lined up into the future that we've connected with is the called Humanity Unites Brilliance, and they're an amazing new startup company that is soon to be launched, and they are providing a service and an opportunity for entrepreneurs and people who want to make a difference in the world, in helping people around the world to in ways of education, clean water, health, being fed, and that is Humanity Unites Brilliance, and we have them lined up into the future as well.
So we wanted to just kind of go over a little bit of what we shared today by sharing a moment of uniting in a conscious meditation, so to speak, and to experiment with the power of our collective hologram that we've created out there. And not simply to drop in together just for a few moments, and for each of us to touch into that place in our beings where we can feel that frequency, that feeling of innocence. Just like when we were fresh new babes, looking through the eyes of wonder, we're beautiful, we're precious. life is greater than imagined. See if you can touch into that feeling and that being of innocence. Looking out through your eyes, knowing that the world is your oyster and you can create anything, anything that your heart desires. And anything is possible. Just feeling into that and inviting you to create a special place within your own being where you can return to that place and grow it and cultivate it and nourish it and feed it with your love and with your desire to join with us in living on the edge of wonder through the eyes of greater than imagined, such that this whole world ignites with the feeling and the knowing of our preciousness, of our collective humanity, and that there really is no reason to harm, to strike out, or to judge. Just feeling that together. Feeling the possibilities. And feeling the gratitude of uniting on the precipice of the unknown through the eyes of wonder. So thank you for that. So we are excited to join you, our listeners, every 2 weeks, the next show being March 16th, to explore with other compelling guests this journey of conscious evolution. And again, feel free to write us, to connect with us through email at mywisdombody@yahoo.com.
If you want to find out more about the Amethyst Biomat, visit us at www.bodyalivetemple.com or call us at 1-415-233-2949. You can get all the information that you'd like on the Amethyst Biomat, and we have other technologies for radiant health as well that we'd love to share with you.
Beautiful. You know, I ran across a quote this week I'd love to share with everyone. I'm going to make it my big assignment. Maybe some of you have heard about laughter yoga being the new trend out there. It's really grown in popularity, and being a yoga teacher myself, I'm very tickled that people are now gathering to share the yoga of laughter. And I ran across a quote that reminded me of the power of this laughter yoga. It's by Victor Borge, and it simply says, "Laughter is the shortest distance between two people."
I love that.
Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. So I want to invite you and me and all of us to get on the fast track of evolution by creating laughter in a very maybe unpredictable environment, in a place maybe in the bank or, you know, in line or somewhere where you may feel some tension. What if you could create some humor in those tense situations and watch the room or the environment just shift into innocence, just instantaneously? It's an amazing way into that innocence and joy that we've been sharing about. So we're invoking the comedians out there, and we're invoking the muse of comedy to be alive in our lives again.
Thank you. We're just about to wrap up our show in a few minutes. You still have a couple minutes to call in if you like. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, we do welcome them.
Or jokes.
We welcome your participation.
Absolutely. I'm also thinking of some other examples out there right now, which are in our animal kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the dolphins
mm-hmm.
and wanting to just give appreciation and gratitude to our dolphin family out there who model that joy and innocence on the planet and
mm-hmm.
really hold that frequency mm-hmm. in the most exquisite way.
Yeah, and whales as well, in such a beautiful way. Yeah, I mean, how do you see the dolphin in their innocence? How do you see them? What is it? What's the quality that you see in them?
Well, they simply embody through who they are.
Mm.
I mean, I've swam with the dolphins a few times, and it's very hard to maintain an attitude when you're swimming with the dolphins or stay in a position of ego because they're just so whimsical and spontaneous and
playful
and joyous.
They have so much trust as well. I mean, they are such an example to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the whales, I'm reading Whale Tales, an amazing book compilation of whales and human beings interacting, and it's just so inspiring. I had a small inkling, but they are just amazing how much trust and how tuned in they are to human beings. It's something of an adventure for me to read the book Whale Tales.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So cheers to our whale and dolphin friends out there, humans alike. We have one more minute before we say goodbye for now, and we just want to thank everyone for listening, and I'm really grateful to kick off our Edge of Wonder radio program in the frequency and feeling of innocence and wonder, and look forward to evolving the conversation and the inquiries and hearing from all of you who are also on the conscious track of evolution to join in with us on our show and share your experiences, wisdom, and knowledge about living on the edge.
And be sure to tune in again in 2 weeks, again with Rennie Davis from the Foundation for a New Humanity. And we're really looking forward to spending time with Rennie. He's a real friend to humanity.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank
Have
you
a
so
beautiful,
much.
Beautiful day. Bye-bye.